God's grace and peace be to you. To Carl and Jan, to Paul and Kim, to Joel and Chris, to all of Doris's family, and to our extended family, the Concordia family and the Seward family. God's grace and peace be to you. Your mom was a blessing. I heard that. I read that. She was a blessing in your lives, and Paul, you point out what a blessing she was in the life of Mark's, your father. She was also a blessing to those gathered this day. And over the years, especially since Mark's passed away, you've been working hard as family. I know Anne, you were there at the house and gathering all of the artwork, the photos, the letters, the memorabilia, trying to get all that stuff together, archived, to listen to another story, perhaps, as Mom shared. But also, Dad had faded before he passed away, and then you watched the same with Mom. It was as if she was entering the final season, a season as the memory was gone. So we've talked about that your grieving is perhaps not as hard because you've been grieving over some time. Because the mother, the grandmother, the sister you knew had diminished. So to speak, the leaves had fallen off the tree and we were heading into winter. That imagery of that tree and the seasons we're going to sing about in the next hymn, a hymn that you selected, as we think of our seasons of life. But I would like to propose this day that your mom, and I'm not going to propose it, matter it's a fact, because of what God says in His Word, she's enjoying a new season, a new spring, a new creation, the promise of God in eternal life. You know, the image of the tree is used throughout God's Word, and perhaps in my week of study and preparation for today, it really jumped out. For some reason, trees were on my mind as I was thinking of Doris Markshausen. Some of you might understand. And if you're not sure, I don't have the sculpture, but I have a photo. This is what Marx sculpted, a bust of Doris as a tree. I'm sure that was a gift of love from your dad to your mom. I'm not sure if my wife would see it as a gift if I gave her a sculpture that looked like a tree to her. But the image of a tree is used in Psalm 1, where the psalmist refers to one who delights in God's word as a tree that is planted by streams of water. Your grandparents, Carl and Paul, your grandparents, Doris's mom and dad, Ed and Amalia, or Molly, they were Christ followers. They're in Blackburn, Missouri. And because of Jesus' living relationship with Doris's mom and dad, those parents took little Doris Steinbrenner to the life-giving water of holy baptism. There at Zion Lutheran Church, Blackburn, Missouri, her parents knew that she needed planted, so to speak, so that the roots of her life would be well fed, well watered. And from infancy on, Doris grew in that relationship that God created in the waters of baptism, so that she would become, perhaps like Isaiah refers to Christ's followers, oaks of righteousness. We heard that in the Old Testament reading shared just before. That God's children are referred to as oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. That's what God desires for us who place our trust in Him. That we would be His sturdy oaks, so that He would be glorified. The glory of our lives is not ours. The glory of our service to one another belongs to Him. And so not only was she planted in Christ, but if you don't mind, I'd like to refer to your mom as a sturdy oak. A sturdy oak in the life of your dad. Doris Markshausen, from what I've learned from others and from family, is the one who organized, fed, kept together, and managed Marx. Because he was kind of like a willow. Right? I shared that. God blessed Doris with Marx and blessed Marx with Doris so that he knew where, when to go, where to go, what to do, and who to charge for his services of lecture or art. But God also used her as the sturdy oak for Paul and Carl in your lives. That mom who was there for you, well rooted. And then you shared, Jan, that, or Kim, you shared that you and Jan were the daughters brought into the family. She was the sturdy oak for you and also for you, Joel, and for Anne and for Chris. Planted in the Lord by the stream of his living water to serve others, especially as she served in the vocation of spouse and mom and grandma. But as I listened in and as I listened to others in the community, Doris was also used by God as perhaps her branches were extended, so to speak, to serve beyond her home and to serve out in the community. Yeah, she had her passions, right? She had her own ways, so to speak, to prune, graft, plant, protect, and promote projects, ideas, and thoughts. And it was Doris's way. However, by God using her like he uses all of his people, blessings for others were enjoyed. Just before we walked in, one of you shared from the family that this community would not have the shade of many trees if it weren't for Doris. Somebody labeled her in this past week the tree cop, right? There were other names that were given to her. I can't preach those. But she had a passion that moved her to serve God's creation as she served our community. God taking that person, extending the branches of her life so that she would be a blessing to others. And though God uses the imagery of the tree to represent one's life in Christ, the reality is Jesus even fine-tunes it and he says, by the way, I'm the center of all that. I'm the vine and you are the branches. It's even there in the artwork of the altar. The reality is, more than a tree, Doris, like each one who trusts in Jesus Christ, is a branch grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. And being grafted into Christ, there we find out his gifts that flow from him. The gifts of new life, the gifts of forgiveness, the gifts of unconditional love, and the gift of the promise of eternity. He is the vine. We are the branches. And grafted into Christ, the gifts of God flow into our lives. It would be hard to share about Doris, your mom, your grandma, your sister, your friend, if one did not look at the importance of the imagery of the tree in her life. But it would be a greater loss for us this morning if we would ignore the ultimate imagery of the tree that God shows us in his word. Because that tree is a sign of God's gift of grace. It begins at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is planted to the sight, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There at creation, God fed his creation, our first parents, Adam and Eve, from the tree of life. God's desire for his creation enjoyed immortality. And yet, our first parents, in disobedience, ate from a different tree. And then we see the tree again, because God, out of his love, desired to restore that creation. In Acts chapter 5, we read, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than mortals. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of our salvation on Calvary's Hill. On that tree, Christ hung for your mom. Christ hung for you. Christ hung for the world. And then in the text you selected for this day from Revelation, we see what awaits us. As God opens the door to heaven and reveals it to St. John, then I saw the new heaven and the new earth. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. There will be no need for light of lamp or sun. The Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. There it is. The image of the tree that God had given to us in Genesis, the assurance of his grace and immortality, restored in the tree of Calvary for Doris and for the world, and then assured again as he showed St. John what awaits us. There is the new creation, creation restored, restored by Christ. And there in the new creation, God gathers his people in that new orchard, so to speak. Not just around the tree of life, but around the throne of the Lamb. And there, the redeemed enjoy eternity. So it's true. We all could be labeled, so to speak, trees. The redeemed enjoying eternity. That's what God desires for his children, so that he might show the world his splendor, his glory, that he took Doris and he grafted her into the vine, his son, Jesus Christ, that through Christ he gave her life, and even as the last leaves fell in the past few days, a new creation came forth inside the gates of heaven. That's God's desire for you also. That you are grafted into Christ, that you're one of his solid oaks, the redeemed, enjoying eternity. And if you have not been grafted into Christ, know that by the power of that same Spirit, he desires the same for you this day, that you and I may enjoy eternity, seated around his throne, under the shade of his tree of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which is beyond our ability to understand, may keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. And to God's word this day, we sing a hymn of response, O Blessed Spring. And as we sing the hymn, be mindful how the hymn writer guides us through the seasons of our life and reminds us that we have been grafted in Christ.